I'd also like to greet each one this morning in the name of Jesus and welcome each one. God bless you visitors for being here with us today. And been blessed already. Thank you for that psalm, Junior. Those words, that prayer there at the end of that psalm. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Good prayer for all of us, a prayer that would have helped the man that I want to preach about today a lot in his life if he would have prayed that prayer. I'd like to look, the title of the message today is Lessons from the Life of Samson. I'd like to begin by reading a scripture in Ephesians 5, verses 14 to 17. How would you label the life of Samson? Let you think about that a little bit. And I want to read these verses here. We'll come back to these verses later on a bit, maybe, toward the end of the message. Hebrews 5, verse 14 to 17 says, Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So how would you label the life of Samson? Just your first impression or your first answer. What would you say about Samson's life? We usually label people. In your mind, you when you think of someone, and you kind of have an idea of what you think about that person. So let's label Samson. The strong man. Selfish man. He wanted to
have it both ways.
He wanted to have it both ways.
Lustful.
Made poor choices.
But still ended up in the heroes of faith.
I was going to read those verses in Hebrews 11. It says, And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Now the phrase that probably fits Samson in these verses here is, through faith subdued kingdoms. And the end of his life leaves a big question mark to me. How his life ended, why he is in the heroes of faith. I'm going to leave that to God this morning. Our focus today is lessons that we can learn from the life of Samson. And I like to look at some of the, how his life, in the first part of the message, I'd like to look at how his life was graced with potential and opportunity. And then the second part in the failures that he made, and then the third part is what can we learn from his life. And we labeled him with a lot of negative things, but that is why these accounts are recorded in the scripture, so that we can learn from their mistakes. There are positive examples in the Bible, and we learn from their good choices and the good things that they did. Today it's going to be a bit negative as we look at his life, but it really would not have had to be that way. The story is in Judges 13 through 16, four chapters in the book of Judges. The setting, the book of Judges, the nation of Israel was at a low time again. And it says in verse 1, chapter 13, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. It seems the children of Israel were, as a nation, they were on a roller coaster ride. They did evil and they were brought out of those low times by a judge or a prophet that brought them back to God and helped them find their way for a bit, but it wasn't long until they did evil again. Notice the word again. I think that's a key word here in this verse. It shows us the human tendency, the human nature is on a downward trend to again turn back to evil. And so there must be a spiritual effort put forth if we want to maintain a life of godliness. If we want to maintain a culture of godliness, there will be a spiritual battle, or we will just go back again like the children of Israel did here in the sight of the Lord. And I'm surprised, well, I guess I'm amazed at the love of God. Why does God just put up with this kind of thing? Even back in Noah's time, they did evil, and he destroyed everyone except one family. And God is long-suffering. God desires his heart. He doesn't overlook sin, but his heart is so full of a desire to bring his people to a relationship with himself that when they did evil again, he punished them, but he also seemingly always provided a judge or someone to help them find the right way. Some of the things that grace Samson's life with potential are his parents. First of all, in chapter 13, verse 3, his birth is announced by an angel. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. It doesn't tell us much about her and her husband's life. But as we look at Old Testament characters in these situations where they didn't have children, it was often we notice that they prayed for children. And I believe this was the experience of Samson's parents. They were praying and asking that God would give them children. And an angel of the Lord appeared in answer to that prayer. I'm adding that thought just from my own imagination. An angel of the Lord appears and gives them the assurance of the promise of a child. And when she tells her husband about this, and I like the communication that I see between this husband and wife. They were, when something appeared to her, she told her husband. Sometimes something happens that I think, I'm not going to tell my wife. And you know what? Before the day's over, I end up telling her. I don't know how that happens, but I think that's the way it should be. Husbands, don't hide things from your wife. When something happens to one or the other, talk about it and tell each other. Here, I see that happening. Samson's mother-to-be, when this angel came, she did not just keep this to herself, but she told her husband. It tells me that she was excited about it. And it calls Manoah to pray. In verse 8, it says, he entreated the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again. Excuse me. Unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. He also had a desire to have information and affirmation from this angel of the Lord, this man of God that calls him, to come and talk to him about it. And he prayed about that. And later on, verse 9, it says, God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Again, they weren't together, but the woman made haste, ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And I can just imagine the happiness of this couple as they interact again with this messenger from God. Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Notice the content of the prayer of this father-to-be. He wanted direction on how to order the child and how to be a parent, how to be a father. And God, this angel of the Lord, God through the angel of the Lord, gives them some clear instruction. In the following verses, he tells them that this child would be a Nazarite. Now, there were Nazarites that were Nazarites for a period of time, and then they went back to normal living. And there were a few Nazarites that were Nazarites for a lifetime. And that was the intent that God had for Samson, to be a Nazarite for a lifetime. His mother, before he was born, was not supposed to eat anything that comes of the vine or drink strong drink. And when he's born, they should never give him a haircut. Never shave his head. And you know how it is, little boys, as they grow up, finally it's time to give them their first haircut. And that was not supposed to be with Samson. He was to be a Nazarite. His hair was to be uncut. And he was not to drink any strong drink. And these were clear directions that were given for his lifetime. Back in verse 5, this angel, this man of God, had told Samson's mother that he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Philistines had been bothering, or the children of Israel were subdued under the Philistines for 40 years, and now this young man, this child that is to be born, is being born with the promise of beginning to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And it's interesting the way that God works. It would seem that after 40 years, there's a need for an immediate deliverer. But God brings it to pass that a child is born and says that he's going to begin to deliver. And of course, you got to give the child time and years to grow up. Maybe, I don't know, 20, 25 years before he's able to be a judge and start delivering the children of Israel. And so God seemingly is not in a hurry. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, the psalmist says. Don't be impatient with God, because God works things out in his timing. God works things out for his glory. God's ways and his timing are better than our ways and our thoughts. Samson's life was also, he was also a witty person, a wise person, I think. He could say riddles and confuse his friends and make them scratch their heads and try to figure out what he's talking about. So we see that Samson, I believe he was blessed with wisdom. And on top of that, let's not forget about his outstanding physical strength. That was what we remember him for. And there was a secret to his strength. And back in 13:25, it says, The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. That's an interesting phrase about an Old Testament character. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. And so Samson's life is full and rich with potential and opportunity to be the man that God wants him to be a man that God can use in a mighty way in his timing to deliver the children of Israel. That's the plan that God had for him. (Clears throat) Now, the next part of the message is about Samson's failures. And it's a sad part of his life. Excuse me. It begins in chapter 14, verse 1. It says, Samson went down to Timnath. Timnath was a town of the Philistines. And it says that Samson went down. And down in the scriptures often gives us a picture of spiritual decline, of a spiritual path away from God. That's often what down implies. Up implies toward God and toward righteousness. But Samson went down to Timnath. And here is what we see in his life. His associations were apparently with the people of Timnath. Now, what are associations? Some of the other words that we could use maybe were friendships or connections or involvements or fellowships or links. And in the environment that we are living in today, we associate with a lot of different people. And it's not all wrong. It can be good if it's the right associations, if it's the right friendships, the right connections, the right involvements, the right links. I believe it also brings us some challenges in our lives sometimes, all our connections. When I was a youth, my connections were probably about as far as my horse, Roger, would take me. I mean, that was about the circumference of my connections. And today, connections are vast for you as young people. And it's not your fault, and it's not wrong. But associations do have an effect on us. And associations will shape our life. Samson went down to Timnath, and there he saw a woman. And he came to his parents with the request that he wants this woman for a wife. He said, "Now therefore get her for me to wife." There seems to be a very demanding aspect to Samson's request here. There was nothing of asking, and I guess the Bible isn't full of all the conversation that went on, but we see demand. And he told his parents the way it is and what he wants, and there was nothing to change Samson's mind. His parents said, "Isn't there a woman from the children of Israel?" Instead of going to the uncircumcised Philistines, and Samson's answer was, "Just get her for me, for she pleases me well." And that's where we see his lust and his selfishness is beginning to control and direct his life. I think the book of James says, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You see, these things started small. And some of Samson's problem, a lot of Samson's problem, was with what he saw, what he looked at, what he focused on. In chapter 14, he saw a woman in Timnath. And later on, he went down to Gaza and he saw a harlot there and he visited her. He spent time with her and got himself into all kinds of trouble. He loved a woman her name was Delilah. I forget what town she was from. But Samson, what his flesh lusted after, he desired. And he went after that. and through that, he loses his godly heritage. He loses his potential. He loses his opportunity to be everything that God wants him to be. That's a short version of the story. But he, in the part in chapter 14 where he wanted the woman of of Timnath for a wife. It gives some description there about the wedding, and his. It says that they would get 30 friends for him, and these were, I'm not sure if they were Samson's friends or just people that were appointed, but they were friends that he put a riddle out to them, and there was a deal made, and they couldn't figure it out. So finally, toward the end of the feast, they came to his young bride, and they said, "Tell us what the answer is, or we'll burn you and your father's house." They made a threat. Now, what kind of friends were those? Those are the kind of friends that those are the kind of associations that we have when we go away from the people of God. They were friends as long as Samson gave them favors. They were friends as long as it was for their good. They were a little like Samson, probably, because we usually look out for people to be friends with that are like us. And so when it turned against them and they saw that their friendship is going to cost something, they made threats against his bride, and she dug it out of her, out of him, and he told her the answer, and she told them, and the outcome of that was that, I think that was when Samson caught those foxes and sent them through the barley fields, and then the Philistines reacted to that and came and complained to the people of Israel about what Samson had done. And so the troubles are multiplying in his life. But his unbridled fleshly desires end up costing him his eyesight, end up chaining him, end up making him bow his back to grinding, turning the millstone, and being the source of power to turn the millstone. What a shame, what a loss of opportunity, what a loss of potential. Another problem that Samson has was his disregard for spiritual law. And we don't have any record, we don't have any record of Samson praying until the very end of his life. You see, Samson was strong. Samson could wiggle his way through situations. Samson could figure out, I mean, if the gates were locked, he'd just pick the gates up and take them out on the hill. And life was probably kind of lighthearted for him. We do not have record of him praying until he was in a desperate situation at the end of his life. Brothers and sisters, no matter what our abilities are in life, no matter how good you are at what you're doing, you need the help and the strength of the Lord. You need to pray and to seek God's face daily. You need to seek God's face in the morning to help you do what God wants you to do. No matter how often you've done it or how good you are at it, we need the strength and the help of God. Disregard for spiritual law or spiritual things. Remember, he was a Nazarite, and this was an indication of separation unto God. We look at in Numbers 6 where the directions are for the law of the Nazarite. It's for a separation unto God. It's a clear distinction of being called apart and set apart for a purpose. And God has called us apart out of the world to be separate unto him, to be his chosen people, his holy nation, his peculiar treasure. We have, our life is also graced with potential and opportunity. If we sense that God has called us in that way. Samson disregarded that. His separation unto God, his thing of being a Nazarite, is sadly blurred by his carelessness and his reckless living. There's also a lack of stability in his life. His life is like a roller coaster. He's up and down, he's in trouble, he gets himself out of it, and it's impossible to be undisciplined and stable at the same time. Samson was not a stable person. In chapter 16, in his failure, again, this woman, Delilah, another woman, is trying to get out of him what the secret of his strength is, and he tells her one thing, and they try that, and Samson just tears the ropes or the whatever they bind him with, and it's not that, and so she keeps bugging him and asking him why he mocks her, and then finally he tells her, and in his sleep, she cuts his hair, and his strength departs from him, and he is not even aware that his strength has gone from him. When she wakes him up, he gets up and says he's going to go out as at other times, and all of a sudden he realizes that his strength is gone. Awake to righteousness and sin not. We read those verses in Ephesians about being awake. You see, spiritual life slowly leaves a person as they make wrong choices. There comes a time, and I don't know when that is, but there came a time when Samson's strength was gone, and he didn't even realize it. And that's the sad condition of many people that walk away from God. You know, I don't believe that their conscience bothers them every day. They couldn't live with that. When a person chooses to walk away from God, God finally doesn't bother them anymore. The Holy Spirit's conviction doesn't bother them anymore. And so they live their life in a delusion. They live their life thinking that everything is okay and they're going to be all right. They live their life deceived, in deception. And that is why Jesus warns so often in the scriptures, in the gospels, about taking heed that we are not deceived. Because this spiritual strength can go from us, even like Samson's did when he was asleep. What will we learn from Samson's life? Number one, life and its opportunities are a gift from God. The abilities that you have are a gift from God. Each day of your life is a gift from God. These are things that we can often kind of forget and take for granted. But we need to remember that what we have is given to us. And that's humbling to realize. I think that's what helps us to walk in humility before God, when we realize that everything we have and are is because of what God has given to us, even the days of our life. The psalmist prayed, "Teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom." Another thing that we need to learn from Samson's life is the need and value of parental guidance or counsel. If Satan can foster a breakdown in communication between parents and children, if he can create defiance, if he can encourage rash reactions, then Satan is delighted. And I think it's well understood by us that most children, maybe all children, at some point in life, even though they have been taught to obey and to respect and to honor, there's that phase or that time that we start maybe resenting authority a bit. And it appears to me that the reason for that is because our response to parental authority shapes our life, and Satan knows the premium that it puts on a life when there is a respect and an honor for authority, and that starts with parental authority. And so he tries to undermine and to take away that respect and to create defiance and rebellion in young people's lives. And so don't be surprised if you as young people have those feelings in your heart sometimes. Those are temptations that come to youth and to young people. But they're real, and there's a spiritual element involved in them that you cannot afford to lose that battle. And so the lesson that we can learn is endeavor to maintain a respect for the authority that God has placed in your life, no matter how flawless or how full of flaws that life is. Those can make difficult situations, but the command and the plan of God is for us to have good relationships with authority. And Samson failed in that. Proverbs is full of advice and counsel. I'm just going to read a few verses from Proverbs, a few scattered verses. Proverbs 1 verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Chapter 2 verse 7. Chapter 2 verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thine ear incline thine, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Chapter 3, 1 to 4, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, tend to no understanding." Down in verse 14 it says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day." Verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." When we read these verses with the life of Samson in mind, it's so clear that the formula for life and favor with God is laid out in the scriptures. Ponder these verses in Proverbs if you're struggling with rebellion or authority. Read these verses. Let these truths set you free. Another thing we learn is the magnitude of influence association has on our life. We already talked about that some, but 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Who are you spending time with? It's a question for us, our associations, who we spend time with, who we enjoy being with. And even the question of, you know, young men, sometime you're going to face and be given that desire to find a wife. Where are you going to be then? Samson was in Timnath when it came upon him. And so he looked to the daughters of Timnath. And that's often what happens. We look around us where we are when that takes place. And again, it's not a wrong desire, but the associations, the connections, the friendships that we have at that time will shape your life, the rest of your life, and even have an impact on where you spend eternity. The importance of associations. Another thing we could learn from the life of Samson is the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And we often think we can do this or that and get away with it, and we'll somehow dodge this law of sowing and reaping, but there is no dodging the law of sowing and reaping on the bad side, and there's, praise the Lord, no doubt, you can't miss it on the good side either. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's a law of God, a law of sowing and reaping that cannot be bypassed and will not be bypassed. The deliberate choice to follow or pursue the flesh in the world brings spiritual blindness, chains of addiction, and slavery to sin and Satan. Samson wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Romans 6:23 also tells us about life wages. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we sow to the flesh, the wages are death. If we sow to the Spirit, the wages are life everlasting. That's a goal, that's an aspiration that I trust is alive in each one of us. But let's, as young people, as men, let's not follow the example in the life of Samson, but let's learn the lessons. I'd like to close by reading those verses in Ephesians again, and I trust they have a deeper meaning as we ponder the life of Samson a bit. Ephesians 5, 14 to 17, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's kneel for prayer.